Blog Talk Radio.
Network. This is Sister Ruth from North Carolina on April 17, 2021. We welcome each and every person tonight that's calling in. We thank and praise God for the founder of this network and all the hosts and the co-hosts, every participant of this network. We praise you tonight. We praise God. We give honor and glory to God tonight. And it's a blessing to be in the land of the living tonight in spite of what we're all going through, in spite of all the trials, the tribulation, the everything that's ready to make up a part of our life. So I welcome you again, even the one on the internet, the radio, whichever way you choose to listen tonight. We thank and we praise God. I ask the Lord to help me to decrease, that he may increase and pour out to his people what he would have them. They have them to receive, but I just pray that you have an ear to hear and a spirit to be obedient to the word of God, not to me. I'm just a vessel he's using, and he uses all of us at some time or another to be a vessel. And we just thank and praise God for that tonight. But I just want to encourage each and every person tonight, no matter what, even for myself, no matter what we are going through, we still got the victory. We still have God on our side. He will always be on our side as long as we don't walk away from him and to walk away from the things that he allowed us to go through. So just continue to be encouraged and continue to praise him, continue to go through, continue to get closer to him, continue to build your relationship with him, which is very important for you to do that, because we need to get closer to him during these times, closer than ever before, because of the things that's coming up, because persecution is intensifying in each of our lives, you know, because people don't want the true gospel to go forth. They still want us to break down a meltdown gospel, entertaining gospel. But, you know, I refuse to bow to the enemy. I refuse to. My Savior, you know, he died for me. And not only that, the things that I've gone through in life, the hard time, the trouble, he was there for me and brought me out. And the only reason I'm here today and in my right mind is because if he had not been with me, I could not have made it, and even in what I go through now. But, you know, I know trouble's going to come. I know persecution's going to come. I know rejection. I know all these things are going to come. They're part of life. But you can only make it when your hand is in the hand of the Master's hand. And you cannot go around and expect for it not to come. You can't hide in bushes and think it's not come. It's just a part of reality. But woe unto those who bring it. Woe unto those who bring it. So you be encouraged. I'm here to encourage you. And I'm not here just to encourage you because I'm not going through stuff. I am. And usually a lot of time with a lot of us, we have a heavy mantle to carry because of the calling that's on your life. But that is what God chose. And if we're going to follow him, we must go through. But I just want to encourage each and every person tonight. So I'm going to pray. And after prayer, I will always, as the Holy Spirit lead me until he lead me different to bring the word. And then I will pray for people, those who want prayer and or need prayer or need me to be in agreement with them. Or however the Lord chooses, if he chooses to give me a word, I'll give it to you. But if he doesn't, I'm not going to make up a word, you know, because the logo is the word. So we just thank God for that. But Father, we come before you tonight. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you for this particular night, this network, the founder and his family, Father, every host, co-host, every participant. We praise you for them tonight, God. I give you glory and honor for each and every person. And Father, I just lift your name up tonight, Father. Allow your anointing to come on this line, Father, in the name of Jesus. You touched your people. You touch them, Father. You give them what they want. I'm in agreement, God, that whatever your divine purpose and will for them, but it to be. I'm not a person to say what you should and should not give your people. They are yours. And I just stand in agreement because I know for a fact that, Lord God, that you will answer prayer. And Father, I thank you tonight. I pray for this world as a whole. I pray for the nation. I pray for God, your sovereign anointing falls in this country. Father, in the name of Jesus, not just in this country, but other countries, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah, name, I pray, Father, God, that you will even go in the White House, touch every person in authority, because your words say, pray for all of those who are in authority. And God, I pray for each and every person, whomever is called, whether local, whether in the United States, wherever they are, I lift them up to you, I lift their family up to you, I lift, Lord God, salvation, bring salvation to everyone that's needed. And those who have received salvation, I ask you, Lord, to draw them closer to you in a closer relationship. And, Father, every person that's going through tonight, God, I lift them up to you right now. Lord, lift their burden in the name of you. Let them cast it on you, for you cares for them. Help them to walk it out, Father. Help them to come to that place in you, in that relationship that you desire for each and every one of them to be, because there are lives and there are people that they must touch before they leave this earth. And, Father, we thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to hallelujah. God, hallelujah. Thank you for each and every person and for the anointing and the calling that's on their life, God. I ask you to stir them up in the name of Jesus to come to that place, because in that place where your sovereign will is where everything that they need and desire will start to come forth to them in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you again for all that you're doing and going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. I've come to tonight to out of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, to my exhortation to follow Christ. And not only is this message for you all, but I know each time a person teaches will bring the message for them first of all. But tonight I say it really is for me tonight. I'm exhorted. It's encouraging me to follow Christ no matter what I'm going through. No matter how I'm going through, no matter what I will come up against me, I am more encouraged tonight to follow Christ, because I know that the enemy will not be trying as hard as he can to stop me or to stop this work that I do if I was not following Christ. So I say the same thing to you. But Scripture says this, 12th verse, chapter and first verse, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Weight is anything that's going to stop you, hinder you. It's abundance. It's a common. It's so many different synonym words for that particular word that would hinder, come to hinder. Some of it, a lot of it's not really sin. It's pressure, cares, it's grief, something heavy. A lot of time, all of us may be carrying one thing or another. We don't have to say be in a great big old cult or whatever people say, but a lot of time it could be those things. But he said, lay aside every weight. And since Scripture is telling us to lay aside every weight, if you don't let those things go, that's when you're being disobedient to the word. Disobedient to sin. And no way that we can say we can't, because he said you can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And like I said, I say this to you all tonight because I have to say it to myself. Those things that come against me, that work against me, I cannot hold them. I have to let them go. I cannot hold, because they become weight, and eventually they become of sin, because what weight does, it holds you back and holds you down. And it could be things people say, things people, the way they treat you, the way they talk to you. It could be anything, maybe things that you got a mindset, or things you've been told, said, or whatever. And it's not getting you anywhere. It's spiritual. You need to let it go. The Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin. And based in the New Testament, in the Greek, sin is used to miss the mark that God has set. You or I and nobody else don't set marks. I don't care what we want to think. He's the only one who can say whatever you're doing is sin. Most of the time, the thing may not be a sin. But if he tells you to let it go and you don't obey him, it is sin. And like I said, a lot of times we don't want to let things go unless he tells us personal. But I'm here to tell you, in my walk with God and what I've learned, there were many times that God sent, I'm to my prophets, people working in the office of prophets, to tell me about certain things. Not that I was out in the world sinning. It could be a mindset. It could be things I was getting ready to do, I thought that I was supposed to do, or the way I was taught in church, that it wasn't, following him. And God would give me warnings. But I thank God, because of his grace And my heart had had that fear of God, reverence for him. But when they told me, I just began to pray to ask God, Lord, help me to let it go. Help me to let it go. Please help me to let it go. I didn't have to argue with God. I had to pray about it because the word of God tells you, anytime you got the real spirit of God in you, whenever God is saying something to you, your spirit man let you know whether it's coming from God or not. He knows what he's saying. He knows who he's saying it to and how. It's not a thing that we have to always got to, well, let me think about it. Let me pray about it. Let me see about it. I want you to think about this. When Abraham, during that day, when Abraham, Moses, and all of them, they didn't have all the Bibles. They didn't have all the CDs and all this other stuff. They didn't even have the Spirit of God in them. It came on them. But whenever they heard a word from God, they immediately began to obey. Why is it not that we can have his Spirit and sometimes go on and on for years and still obey God, waiting for, as they say, a confirmation? But the Holy Ghost in you give you a confirmation. You know, because he said in his word, his sheep know his voice. He said, sheep know, and his strange voice, they won't follow. So we don't have, well, a lot of times we don't have to, because I know an individual, and this is somebody close to me first. The Lord had told them years back, even when they was really a young teenager, told them, then somebody asked them to preach, and they told me I had to pray about it. And still some years passed, and they're still praying about it, I guess. They're still praying about it. So in your inner man, this is how I tell you how I know. When God is speaking to me, whether it's through somebody else, through the word or whatever it is, my spirit man in me will give me peace if it's him. If it's not him, I get a disturbing in my peace. Something I don't have to pray about it all day and all night to find out if he's saying it. I know through my spirit man. But he said, lay aside every sin which does so easily beset you, and he put you down or hold you back and keep you from moving ahead. And let us run this race, this with patience, the race that is set before. Whatever is set before you, it said you run it with patience. You endure it. You go through. But you cannot go through with a whole lot of baggage and carrying a whole lot of bondage. It does not have to mean that somebody else is doing it. It could be you doing it. It could be a mindset. It could be a way you like to do things. It could be a way that you think things ought to go. However it is, but he's saying, lay aside. If it's keeping you from moving ahead in Christ, if it's keeping you from fulfilling your calling, and God, you know in your heart that God has called you, all of us on here and other people. A lot of times we hear from being a child. Sometimes you hear when you become a teenager or grown up, you hear it. Somebody says something. Somebody can let you look at you and see it. Then later on, after you come into Christ, God has people after people telling you. And a lot of time I paid someone to tell me back here not too long ago, they were telling me, said they was waiting on Christ. I said, no, he waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. That's because his word tell you. But I'm going to read that again. He says, wherefore sin, we also compass about with such great crowd of witnesses. Let us, lay aside, put away, let it go, cut it off. Every weight, every burden, everything that come of him, every bondage, whatever it is, let us lay it aside. Let me go back up here. Great weight, crowd of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. It's a weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run this with patience, this race. Run and not all this stuff. We keep going, keep things a lot of things we say and do. We're getting tired of going through. I know we all do. Everybody do. Tired of some, especially mess. I do, mess. But it's going to come. It's going to happen. But I cannot waste time paying attention to it. I got to move ahead. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning and he's the ending of it. He started, he knows it, he permits it, he allows whatever terminology you want to use, because people have a play with word, but I don't. Because like I said, if you look that word up, it got many other words that mean the same thing, spelled different. Many synonyms to the word. It means the same because he allowed it. Because everything that Jesus went through, he said that he went through as an example to us. We may not literally go through some things he went through. We will figure it, like the cross. But we will go through persecution. We will go through rejection. We will go through all of this stuff that people do not want to hear the truth. And more so now in the latter days, because the Bible says they will not endure sound doctrine. I know because of the things he had been preaching and talking about, 95% of the time people won't hear. They won't hear. But that is all a part of the latter day things that's coming, and Jesus coming, the truth that's going to set people free. We still have to preach the truth. We cannot be about winning friends and influencing people and stand before him and then he rejects us. We got to tell people the truth, because right now, I'm sure with the most of you, just like it is with me, it's not many people that you can call if it's a real bad situation, can pray with you, and instantly God answers. They'll tell you, pray, you got to keep on this, you got to keep on that. We need someone walking in the true anointing and power of God, that they can speak to a situation, and the devil has to move then, not later. Because the Bible says he has to obey us, those who have power over him. A lot of times I hear people say, well, we all got power. No, it's not. Because if it was, he would have to listen. Because the same thing as the Holy Spirit speaking through us. The scriptures say, looking unto Jesus, after he finished our faith, who for the joy, now he had joy when he was going through, that was set before him, he endured. I mean, he bared upon with patience. All the things, he was Jesus. He came down as a man, just like we are humans. And to show us that we can go through just like he went through. Reason to go through, if he had not gone through, where would we be today? We're going through for somebody else. We're dying on our figuratively cross for somebody else. Because we're dying to the flesh and coming forth as spirit. This is why you see some people in Christ, they don't operate in the flesh as much as some other people. Because they've been on a cross, a figuratively cross. They was nailed there and could not make a move to do anything until they died to their way of thinking and their way of doing. Same thing. Jesus, when he says, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears more fruit. Each and every one of us on a different kind of cross, a different kind of test, a different kind of trial, but the ultimate is the same. For us, the flesh to be crucified and to mortify the deeds of our body, our way of thinking, our way of doing. And I see a lot of times, a lot of people are not thinking the way the Bible thinks. They're not thinking the way Jesus is saying. This is what I believe. Think. This is what I believe. No, it's about what the Word of God say, what the revelation. A lot of things that the Lord was telling me his Word, he thought different than I thought. I thought I had it right. But if I had not changed wherever I am today in him, don't know, don't quit. I just know I'm in him. I would not be able to stand doing the things that I go through. I would not, because I would hate a temper, and I would get upset about stuff, blow off steams, and the men especially people pressure me. But it takes me going on that cross, and he's fixing me at times when I felt I need to get, defend myself or explain something to people. I've had the Holy Ghost to tell me to shut up, the battle ain't yours, it's mine. I still try to say something, and would nothing come out of my mouth. I'm telling you the living truth, what I've gone through and what he had to do to me to make me be a person. I have to stand for him today. There's a lot of reason I can throw up my hand and give up and stop preaching gospel, what I have to go through. But I know I can't do it. But there's other people counting on me, but also he counting on me. But if he did and went through, that's what he's saying. I can and you can and everybody else can, but I'm here to be honest with you, everybody, to tell you, if you're going to walk with him and you're going to fulfill your call and walk in some anointing, I'm not talking about anointing on the gift, because anybody can prophesy, you can preach, you can teach. But to have power to set people free. That life you got to crucify, you got to die to yourself, your way, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, or be conformed to what people want you to do. You got to die to it. You can't. Because he's not going to give you that power in order for you to use it when you get ready, how you get ready, and the way people want you to do it. It's not going to work. Because if Jesus done like that, he would not have been who he was. He didn't bow to anyone, but he said he always did. Father had told him to do. Always. He didn't let the pressure of the people. He didn't let what they want change him from whatever way or the laws or whatever the word of God had told him to do. He didn't let it change him. We're going to have to be the same way. I'm coming on here. I'm being honest with you. I'm being true with you. You will not walk in the power. I've told testimony before. I go back to the word. Back in 2012 when the Lord had a prophet, not on PGN or anything. I wasn't even on PGN, but told me that God's going to have to confirm me more to his habit, I mean to his character, refine me, improve me, because there was an attitude I had that people aggravated me, rejected me, and I was just tired of them. I made a statement to a lady. I told the Lord, I said, then go, don't come back. I'm just tired of them. But the Lord dealt with me on that, say he's going to have to root that out of me for the latter works that I got to do. And he had changed me a lot. So no one can tell me. I listen to people talk. I listen to a priest. I listen to them when they talk. They think I don't because I talk a lot. But I listen to them. I know what's going to hinder you. I know what's going to stop you, but I know what to use to stop me. And he did put me through other tests and trials from 2012 to 2016. I mean, really hard tested with people to get me to the point to let me know you cannot. I called you. You didn't call me. And I know the people that I needed to send to you. If I had time with you to clean you up, then you're going to have time with them, no matter how they act, how they talk, how they treat you, to obey. That's what I have to do. But anyway, he said, third verse said, for consider him that endured such contradiction. Contradiction means opposition. Jesus withstood opposition. Some of us, and necessarily with us on here or other people in general, do not want any kind of opposition. We want to go minister to people. People receive us and everything. Be like, this is why a lot of people want to preach, teach, or prophesy. Because they want to be that everybody like them, everybody receive them, or vice versa. People don't want to hear them unless they're seeing nice stuff, because that's not reality. He said he considered him that endured such contradiction of sinners. This came from sinners, and not necessarily meaning people in the streets of the world, but these people that Jesus dealt with, they were his people, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, but they did not have the Spirit of God in them. Those who he dealt with, those who came against him, those who fought against everything that he said and did, those who had questions about what he did, those were the ones that told him what he should do and shouldn't do. That is what's going to happen to us today. Most sinner people out there, they don't come against you like that. They don't question you. But it's the one that's important. And the same thing he said, but against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. But he said, because if you don't deal with it, you don't endure it, you're going to get weary, you're going to get tired, you see. You know why a lot of us get tired of things? Because we have begun to trying to operate in the flesh. And the flesh rising back up. I'm just not going to take that. Nobody going to talk to me like that. Nobody going to tell me this. Nobody going to tell me that. Only the Lord going to tell me, and I'm going to hear what he's got to say. He speaks through people, just like he speaks through me. And I understand he's going to speak through other people to speak to me. I know that I'm not the only one he speaks to. I know if he wants to tell somebody else something and don't tell it me, he'll do that too. You have to humble yourself down and be able to hear his voice and hear him speak if you want to walk through these things that's coming up in the land now. If I had kept that temper that I had before I got saved, I'd probably be dead today of the thing that's coming on. Because the mouth would have got you in trouble. I thank God for really saving me and delivering me. I thank him for that. This is what he said about, you know, about us. And he was saying about Jesus, he have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. None of us have not resisted against anyone losing blood. Only, you know, those of us who had kids. Not losing blood and, you know, the other. What's kind of monthly thing? But I'm saying we have not went through anything whereas we were losing blood. We died for somebody else, physically died for somebody else. That's what he's saying. Ye have not, just what your Bible says, my Bible says, yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. And ye have not forgotten the exaltation. That word exaltation here mean admonishment in one. It does not mean encouraging people like it does in some other scripture. This is why it's important when you study the word. I do try to look the word up in every scripture that I go in, whatever the word is. More than one time, because it don't mean the same thing in every scripture. Here it means admonishment or warning. In the other scripture, it does say admonishment, which means warning. It come a warning. He said he was warning the people. He said, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint from thou a rebuke of him. Okay, what he's saying is, we are not supposed to just in hate. When the Lord is chasing us, whether through the word, through people, through circumstances, through situations, whatever, we're not supposed to hate that or despise that or scorn that or think have a low opinion of that or get sick of it. This is what the scriptures say. He said, when thou art even rebuked of him, I know that a lot of people, if you rebuke them, even through the word, they get angry, get upset. I mean, they get hot with you. They don't even want to fool with you. Because they don't know Christ. They don't know the word of God. He will do this, even through scriptures. A lot of time I know people, they will go to the scriptures, they're going to please and they're going to talk sweet talk or whatever, but the scriptures going to reprove. They say, that's just too hard. It's in the word. It's in the Bible. You cannot run away from what he's going to chastise you. He's going to reprove you. He loves us enough to want to put us on the right place. He loves us. He knows you're going on the wrong track. He knows I'm going on the wrong track. Many times before I learned to grow a little bit and have some wisdom about the things of the Lord, he was always sending prophets to me, telling me, God said, you're doing things that he's never told you to do. God said, you're going in the wrong direction. I didn't get mad with them. I didn't get offended with them. I thank God for loving me enough that you become the one, because I thought I was going the wrong, right way, because I've been following some other Christians. I've done the religious stuff. This church trip, we're not there winning souls to Christ. We're not there laying hands on people and casting out demons. We're not opening blinded eyes and ears. We're not just churching from one church to the other, preaching and teaching, entertaining. He told me, he said, but I didn't call you to entertain. I call you to come to do the work of the kingdom, do the work, to finish the work that Jesus started, to set my people free. Whatever bondage they were in, to set them free. Not to go out and condemn them, but I had to grow in him and for him to anoint my life, put the anointing on my life, in order for me to have power to set the captives free. To set them and please them and make them feel good, you know, and all of this and all of that, but to set the captives free, to break that bondage off of them, not to set them, you know, but take the authority of the word and to walk in the power of God and speak to tell that devil, you got to let them go. You got to release them. I don't care how you got there, you got to go. But he had to continue to strip me, continue to have me walking in that, continue to have me to obey in him, because he's not going to let me keep his anointing, his power, if I'm not going to obey him. Now, I'm talking about a change. You obey God, I'm being real with you. You're not going to please people, especially people that don't want to change, that feel like they don't need no change. Although, when they get in bondage, they'll call you to pray them out. How do I know? Because they do me like that. But they say they got enough of the anointing, enough of the power. But they're still walking in ignorance, walking in unlearned. They're walking in bondage of some kind. We all need somebody at some time of them. But I don't need nobody just to tell me I can be set free. If God has shown you I'm in bondage, come to me with the power of God and command that that's whatever it is, it's got to go. Since I want to be set free, I'm not going to get all hyped up and all, you know, what's coming up. I don't have no demon. But I try to walk in the bright, but I'm just saying, if that was possible. Because I know the work of God's servants is to go and set the captives free. That's what Jesus did. He said, go and do the work that he did. And he also said greater works than these shall you do. He doesn't mean that we're going to do some work he never done. He's saying with the Holy Ghost and all of those who claim to have it, you all will be out there doing the work of the kingdom. Establish his kingdom. That's how you establish the kingdom of God. You don't establish the kingdom of God just out there talking to people and this, that, and other. Removing the devil out of his place, tearing his kingdom down. Whatever the Bible says is of him, everything evil, okay, how it come, okay, who it come through, you are supposed to root that out and let him know, you can't stay in my sister, brother, you got to go. I don't care if somebody come with a little nasty attitude. That is not of God. That thing has to go. You must leave them. Or whatever kind of abundance it is. If I got abundance, just like abundance, just like I said, saying now, a lot of times people come with me. I am truly a person that really operates in faith. It's not a cliche. It's not a thing I say and do. I believe there is nothing that God can't do. I believe in my heart, if I have the faith in God, he can move mountains. When he going to do it, I can't tell you when he going to do it, but I know he can do it. And I believe that. So anytime anyone come to me to tell me another way of trying to do it other than Christ, you're talking to the wrong one. Because I'm going to do it like he say do it, when he say do it, and how. I'm talking about what I've done, and I've seen when people have called me foolish and this, that, and other, because I choose to stand still and wait on God or do what he said me to do. I'm to my, not the world people, but I saw him come to my rescue. That is what I must teach and tell people. But I know that I walked, not just Paul and what they did, but what I seen him do in my life. He did not raise me up with a person of faith to tell me that you can get whatever you want when you get ready to save the money. That is not the way he because of the way he brought me up in the world, in the Word of God. That is not the way I go. I got to tell you and stand with you that you can do it because his word said it. I cannot come back down to the level I was before he started taking me through the walk of faith. For he started teaching me and telling me that now trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So what he's telling me is when I obey him and don't lean to my own understanding, anyway, go to him with, Lord, this is the situation. Now I'm laying it at your feet. I'm casting all my cares on you. Now, Lord, I'm trusting you to tell me what to do and what not to do. If he should stand still and see his salvation, I'm going to stand still. Even if people are thinking I'm out of my mind, they're already thinking anyway. But I'm going to stand still. And I told the Lord this, that if I've got to fail, let me fail trusting him. Not let me fail trusting in man or trusting myself. Either I'm going to be real with this word, I'm going to put the Bible down forever. I'm not going to teach you. If everybody turn their back, I'm not going to stop teaching the truth and telling people the truth. Because we got to start the standing for him all the way or not stand at all. We got to give it up. We got to stop trying to make friends with people. Because that would make him friend with the devil. I don't plan on sleeping with the enemy at all by compromising the word of God. Because I'm here to say, and I know all of you probably can say just the same thing. When you got in trouble, that was some thing that you got into it or sick or whatever it is. Could nobody help you out and move the miracle but God? When you called on Jesus, he came to your rescue. People came and talked. People came and quote scripture. They did all the dudes that they do. But nothing they said removed that. Because why? They had no power. They had the word, but no power. The Bible talking about having a form of godliness, but denies the power. And that's what a lot of people have. But he said again, and ye have forgotten that exhortation. I'm going to say that again, which, like I say, that is a admonishment and warning that has been given to them, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint or give in or give up when thou art rebuked of him. We got to stop getting mad and getting upset that every time the Holy Spirit rebuke us or see something. Because one thing that I've learned, a lot of times we don't want to acknowledge about ourselves. But the Holy Spirit, somebody got the real Holy Spirit, they can see it. And God would have them to reveal it, because he says nothing hidden that he won't reveal. He said, well, I would uncover your nakedness. Because like I said, most of us, people in general, don't want to think that nothing is wrong with us. Why do I hear? I hear people a lot of times, I'm a good person. But you ain't got to read the Bible. The Bible said nobody good but the Father. So not even Jesus. I got a good heart. If I got a good heart, I wouldn't be getting mad and getting upset with people. Because the Holy Ghost wouldn't allow me to do that. He said, if ye endure, go through chastening, like it's a correction, affliction, whatever it is that the Lord will use, a rebuking, reproving, whatever terminology you use to do it, however you come to do it, whether it's through a test, through trial, through other people. He said, if ye endure chastening, God dealing with you as with son. Okay, why he does that? You are his son. But if he does not, if he never reprove you or chastise you, guess what? Go back to scripture. You're not his son. He only do that, allow that to happen to those who are belongs to him. A son is just not a male boy or whatever it is. It is a child of God, okay? It's a, for what son is he whom the father chases not? He's saying, you belong to me. I will chasten you. Anyway, I will chastise you. I will correct you. Not just through my word, not just through my people, but I will do it through other people. I will do it through tests and trials. God will use people even on your job. They don't know God is using them. Sometimes you can get you act, don't act right, have nasty attitude. They'll correct you. And because we don't walk in the spiritual kingdom, we don't understand it's God using that person because our attitude stinks. And we're not really showing the true light. He said, but if ye be without chastening, whereof all partaking, mean a part of a share in or whatever, so say, then are ye bastards. I'm going to read that again. He said, but if ye be without chastening, if he does not chastise us, does not correct us or reprove us. And there's no child that he does not. I hear people talk, and you know, God don't do this, and God don't do that. They don't know him. And then they're evident they're not his child, because he said, whereof all are partakers, sharers or petitioners, associates, whatever terminology you want, then are ye bastards, if you're not, and not sons. You don't belong to him. I don't want him to say I don't belong to him. Chastise me. Put me in the word. And he does a lot of time with me, put me in the word to get on me about maybe something I done thought about, or I'm feeling bad about something somebody done said, or the way they done talk to me, the way they done treat me, that I think is wrong, not realizing. For whatever reason, these are all things work together for good of those that love him and call according to whatever he calls you to, his purpose. We have to go back to the scripture. The scripture is not good for us to always want to, yes, I do have to get the word out and all that. But I use the scripture a lot more on myself. I know people know the scripture, but they always use it on other people. But they think it does not mean it's for them. They don't know God. They don't even know the scripture. Because it's correct whomever or however. It is what comes for your life, because when it's in you, and you go through tests and trials, instead of you come out of complaining, and then the Lord moves his trial, moves his test, moves his switch, I'm just sick and tired, then you don't know your Bible. Lord, give me the grace, because you say you would not put no more on me than I can bear. Give me the grace to help me to reach in me to get the grace. Help me to go through this test and trial. Change me, because I need changing. I cannot touch the world. I cannot even touch my neighborhood, because why? I'm not changed. I'm supposed to be a light that sits on the hill, that people, everybody can see it. Not because I'm out there talking and speaking in tongues or prophesying to people or preaching to people, but they can see Christ in my light, and they will come to me. That light will draw them to you. This is why I believe in my heart, and I've said this for quite a few years, that I believe with me and anybody else that the true light is in Christ, in me is in Christ, but come forth. I don't have to run and ask people. If they say, which I don't do it anyway, they will come to me and say something about your life. It's different. What is it? Then I can tell them Christ. They're supposed to be able to see you as being a witness, not because of what's coming out of your mouth, signs of wonderful to follow. Every believer, the Bible says that every believer, not some of us. If the signs of wonder not following, this is what I tell God about me. then God, I'm too low. There's something wrong in my life. Put me back down on my knees so I can see what's wrong with me. Because your word says signs and wonders to follow me. I'm not supposed to always be running for signs and wonders. I'm supposed to be heavy following me. So wherever I go, not just on church on Sunday, not just on meetings or whatever it is, but everywhere I go, if I go out to the grocery store, somebody looking bad or looking down, the anointing on my life should be able to draw and bring joy to them, whether I say anything or whether or not. I'm not supposed to have that light hid up on the bush. Stay in the house, or stay in church, or wherever we go, and never let your light be shown. Go and constantly hear the word, all the time, hear the word, hear the word, hear the word, but never going out and allowing that word to come forth and bring life to other people. The Lord told me some years back, he said, so many of his people got so much word in them, they're constipated with the word, but they need a spiritual laxity to get that word out. Because they figure the more word they get, the more I know God, the more I'm closer, and I'll be able to do and think. That's not so. That is not so. You can take one word and one scripture and really know it and have power with it and go out there and deliver many people. It don't take the whole Bible. And he's not going to give it to you all at one time anyway. It's over years and years, because one revelation he give you this year, next year you grow, it's another revelation, the same scripture. On and on and on. You can read that scripture 10 years later, and God will open your eyes up to something you've never seen the first time you read it. It was there all the time, but you were spiritual blinded to it. It's a level growing. That's why I keep telling people there's a level of growth in the Lord like it is in the natural. And you don't learn everything when you're 3 and 4 and 5 years old. As you grow and as you learn, you begin to learn more things, see different things. You learn to get wisdom in life and the same thing in the spirit realm. But he said, furthermore, we have had fathers, our natural father, all our father, of our flesh which corrected us, which they disciplined us. And they reprove us, correct, whatever they did it all, okay, us. And we gave them reverence. We respect them, because that's my daddy. That's my daddy. He never died on the cross for any of us. But he's saying in Scripture, we give them more respect than we do the Creator. Because when he correct us and respect us, we said, God don't do that. He's a loving father. He don't do that. We don't read the Bible. We don't really study the Bible. We read it, maybe don't study. But he say, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrects us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection or submission unto the Father of the Spirit of God which is in us? A lot of time, I know with me, and I'm sure with the rest of y'all, all of y'all, a lot of time the Spirit of God in me, if it's something, maybe I'm doing, I can be getting ready to go somewhere, and the Spirit of God in me will bring an arrest to me. It's not to do it or not to go. It's not the time to go. Even though it may be, I think I need to go. But the Holy Spirit is the leader and guide. It's the one that if somebody's saying something to me and my flesh want to rise up and want to say something, act ugly or whatever, then the Spirit of God would arrest me and won't let me say nothing. Now, I always come with the word, but it won't let me come in defense of myself. Or how sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, if I tell them, maybe they won't do it. If they don't obey God, why do you think they'll obey you? No, you just want to get something off of your chest. Because the problem is with you. It's not with them. It was you. And I'm talking about what I've been through, what the Lord has had to do to me, before I grew a little bit. I feel like I had to get it off my chest. I got to let you know what I'm thinking. Because I didn't want you to think I was too stupid. You didn't understand. See, I know about that. I've been there. I've been there. But God had to deliver me from that. Because he said, the balance yours is mine. Then I still try to say something. He had to get on me again. Till finally I grew to the point, people say stuff, I get them, I hear them. Flesh want to say, but I refuse to go back, because I'm going forward. Because he said, the balance is mine. Vengeance is mine, said, Lord, I shall repay. It doesn't make any difference whether people say, well, you know, I didn't mean that, I didn't this. It could mean the same thing to me. He is a righteous judge. He knows the heart of every person. And some of us, because of how we are, is why we don't move ahead in the kingdom of God. Why God don't put us in the great ministries of things he got for us. We are holding ourselves back. Because we want to allow the word of God to wash us clean of everything that he says is going to hinder. A lot of things don't have to be, well, it's something still called evil, you know, like what the world people are doing. But a lot of times, Christians have evil thoughts. They think of evil stuff. How to get somebody back. How to take whatever people say, hold it, and go over and over. And then when they get a chance, they lash out. Oh, that's wrong. All of it. He said, but they verily, for a few days, chasing us after their own place. Might not have a father. But he, this is his purpose, but he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. What is he saying? If I don't let him clean me up and clean me out and do what he needs to do and chase me and prove me, correct me, or whatever terminology you want to use, then I will not be a partaker or share of his holiness. Holiness means to be consecrated and set apart. I can call, say I'm holy, oh, you know how people have done, I'm holy, but they're not consecrated and set apart. Their attitude and action is just like it was when in the world. The only thing it is, they don't go to the club no more or to the liquor houses or to whatever. But their attitude and action is the same. They'll tell you, I'm not going to take nothing. But he chastised us, he corrects us, so we can be partaking of his holiness. The contrary to the power, people can tell us the difference from another world, the world people from the Christians. They can tell the difference. You can look on a person, I can. Look on a person, and I can tell if I'm looking at the person, and if they're walking in the holiness of God, there's a particular look they have about them. Not because they got on makeup and lipstick and all that. They can have it or not have it, but that's a holiness, that's a cleansing, and that's the countenance is something different about it. But a person who still got some evil in their heart, they're willfully participating in it, acting in it. Their dog, not because of dark skin or anything like that, but they, you can see sin still resting on them. Because if you ever seen, and you don't, I don't see it much in them, but that one time when people really just get saved and born again, instantly their countenance changes. It changes. They look changes. Now, people say they got saved, they're born again or whatever, and there is no change in their countenance. The evil, the anger, the mad, whatever it is still resting on it, or whatever sin it is. Because why? People's telling people, quote Romans 10:19, that make them say that's not scripture. That does not make you saved because you quote that scripture. It has to be an interchange in your heart that moves to the outside, that people can see it. And not only after that, I believe in my heart, after the first initiative of being born again and getting saved, we tell people, after that, people should be able to recognize it in your life. Your attitude, your action, everything about you should be unchanged. Especially, I believe, when a person type things and people are really trying to rub them. If Christ is really in there, and I know, like I said, I know how I was before I got saved and who I was after I got saved. I have been in situations with people. It's on their part, not mine. Okay, and they come against me, and boy, I'll be saying this and that. And for me not to say nothing, I know Christ is in me. I know he's in me. But the change, I proved to them and showed them whether they believe or not, I have truly been born again. I have been born again. Now, like I said before, I always stick to the scripture. But I'm not going to get in flesh and say anything because, as Paul said, once the Holy Ghost, real Holy Ghost came in him, he said, I don't remember anywhere where he went back and acted the same old way. He said, I died daily. He had opportunity, as much as he went through, to get in the flesh and react. But instead of reacting to it, he died daily. And plus the word of God says, that he was told that he was called to suffer many things for the sake of Christ. It's no different in Paul than it was in the years of loss. Those of us who are truly called, we are called to really to suffer like that through persecution. People, if you're going to be like Christ, operate like Christ and look like Christ, not religion, then that is what's going to happen. This is what the scriptures say. Now, no chastening for the present, right at this time, seem to be joyous. He's telling you now, whatever you go through, I go through. And he's chasing us, whether you're using people or circumstance or whatever it is. He says, not going to see joyous and pleasant in a sense. But it's going to be grievous, cause grief. Nevertheless, after it's over, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. This is for everything that we go through and everything people say and do and whatever, and them that don't, it's a problem there. As he said, he chasing them, he loved them, he don't call them bastards. I don't care how religious they is, I don't care how the priest teach, prophesy, I don't care what they do. He's still saying that if they are of him, he's going to chasten them. If somebody that he'll never chase them, he'll never get on them, then according to Scripture, they don't belong to him. That's Scripture. That's why I tell people to study Scripture. But he does this so that peaceful fruit of righteousness can come forth in our lives. See, unto them, put your exercise thereby. I had a situation the other day with someone going through, and I was explaining to them, I cannot pray you out, I can pray you through. That's because God is doing something. I said, what he's doing, he's drawing you closer to him, and using all this situation in order to draw you closer to him and to purify him so you can help other people, so you can pray for other people. I said, that's what he's doing. And I cannot pray. I can pray for you. I can pray that God strengthen you. I can pray that God keep you. But to come against what God is trying to do in your life, then I'm coming against God. Can't do that. And this is somebody very close to me. Can't do that. God turned right around same night. Hey, somebody give me a word. This is what he's doing in their life. He's going to use them for many people. And he's trying to get them to totally surrender and obey in every area. And I tell people, no, I don't know everything, but one thing I do know, if God is saying he's going to use you, if God is saying he's going to anoint you, God's going to build your faith up, I know tests and trials come with it, and I know you got to go through them and you got to pass with the right attitude. With the right attitude. And when you come out, when you come out of whatever you're going through, when you come out, then you're going to know. You're going to know, and you'll be able to, what you tell people, you're going to be effective in what you tell them. Because why? Experience is the best teacher. I know how you feel going through. I know what God is doing while you're going through. So I'm going to pray you through. I'm with you. I'm praying with you. I'm holding your hands up to walk you through so you don't have to go around that mountain the next 10 and 20 years of being in the church or whatever, then in the Lord, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and never mature and never walk into what you're supposed to walk into. Because why? You refuse to give in. You refuse to die to your flesh. You refuse to stop being a baby in the Lord. Because there are babies in spirit. They own milk. You can't give them a strong meat of the word because they get mad, get offended, get hurt, whatever it is. They can't take a licking and keep on ticking. Because why? When they was going through the test and trial, they just stopped in the midst of, I just can't take them over, I can't, whatever it is. And this is why we don't have a lot of people, in the field is white, but the labor is a few. We don't have a lot of people that are spiritually able to go out there and set the captives free. I've had people tell me when they've seen people on drugs or whatever it is, well, they need to want to stop. They should stop. That it's not what the Bible says. Bible says, I give you power over the power of the enemy. He didn't give it to them. You and I are supposed to go out there. But if we don't get what we need in us to go out there to do it, then we cannot be effective with doing that. But we got to get what we need to get in us to be able to help the people out there, be able to help loved ones. A lot of us probably got loved ones and things bound it up in whatever it is. Sometimes the one, you know, the other family, they bound up, the one that's supposed to be, you know, the head, and can't set them free. Any believer, if you really walk with God, you have the power to set the captive free if you walk like you're supposed to walk. And this is what the Lord is trying to do now, get his people back to that place that no demon can stand before them. No demon can stand and take rabbit over their house, over their homes, or if they're in a workplace and they got the Spirit of God in them. Now they have to go around there and, you know, raise sand, but because of having Christ in them, those demons can recognize Christ. And guess what? They have to back up. Just like they did when Jesus walked the earth, remember reading the Bible? Everywhere he went, did them demons run over him? Did they run him away from wherever he's in? No, they didn't. Because they know who he was in Christ. The demons are supposed to know who we are. Not because we got a Bible, not because we speak in tongues, not because we're trying to tell somebody a word or whatever it is, or preach or teach. That spirit in that person is supposed to recognize the Spirit of God that's in us. This is why he tells us, know one another by the Spirit. Don't know them by the flesh. And that's why I say with me, the more I grow, whether you're in person, on the phone or whatever, like on the run now, I can know through by my spirit, whomever or whatever. Because first of all, if the wrong spirit is present, that spirit is going to come against your spirit. He's going to try to tie your spirit up. He's going to try to sit your spirit down and keep you from coming forward, to keep you from flowing, you know, in some kind of way. And this is why you see sometimes people who ministry, whether in church or whether it's, you know, on something like this, where you see them kind of halfway struggling because somebody's spirit is fighting against their spirit. And you probably understand that and know that your own self, even when you ministry. So then that's when you pray, you take authority. That's why it's good to have someone that's really standing with you. So they're praying and taking authority over any and every spirit that will come to hinder the work of God. But see, we have to go through. We have to lay aside every way they ever sin. And knowing you're not coming against that person, you're coming against that spirit. It's trying to operate through that person to set the captives free. This is what we all call out to do. To be able to work on. But knowing this, that just because you see a person ministry and they kind of halfway struggling to bring something forth or to speak something forth, it's not all the time because they don't know or don't know what's on. But something or someone, the enemy works all kind of ways because he don't want the truth to come forward. He's trying to stop the truth from coming out. Not the person, but the spirit that operates. I remember I used to hear a prophet say something years back. She used to tell when she go to meetings and things, and she used to tell people to get up out of her spirit. And I didn't know what she was talking about, but I was not going to sit there. But what is she talking about? That just don't make sense. I don't know why I never was, I call it stupid, do like that. But anyway, I didn't know until later on I understood what she's saying. The Lord was telling her to go one way. You know, maybe prophesy or do deliverance or whatever. Maybe have asked her to preach or teach. But she was going the way the Spirit was leading her to go. And people out there were used to hearing people do what they want them to do. And that's what they came for. But she was the type of a prophet. She was going to obey the Spirit of God. But she was able to pick up the other spirits that want her to stop doing what God's telling her to do and do what they wanted her to do to please them. But if she didn't please them, she wouldn't please God. God may not would allow his anointing to rest upon her because that would have been disobedient. And this is why we have to learn how to grow in Christ and not only do that to other people, because like I said, I'm not going to do that to other people. I'm not. But I do know and understand God may have given them a different revelation. It may have also, they may be at a different level in Christ than where I am. So I just have to ask God, don't understand, open my understanding, but don't let me come against something in the spirit, because you can tell in the spirit realm. Definitely you can tell in the spirit realm, especially if you've got the real Spirit of God. So we have to understand and know all these things have to be laid aside. They wait. But if you hinder the Spirit of God, you'd be really becoming his enemy. We don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to be his enemy. I don't want to come against his kingdom. I don't want to tell him how to, you know, do his work. If he give you an assignment to do, give him mine. I'm not going to tell you got to do your assignment like I think you ought to do it. Because I tell people in a heartbeat and have done this over years. Your assignment he giving you is for you. That's not for me. That's not what he told me. I got to do what he's telling me to do, how he's telling me to do, what he's telling me to do, if I want to obey him. Because why? He has taken the weights off me. I let the weights go. I let the sins go. I got to let them stay off. Because when I was like that, people controlled me every kind of way they could. Then somebody you're going to please and somebody you're going to make unhappy. So you're going to never make everybody happy. So you have to learn how it's best to make him happy. If everybody else is mad, because guess what? He got your back. But this is what happened a lot of time in the world. But you got to realize the same thing what Jesus went through. You're going to go through it too. It may not be literally. It may be figuratively. But you got to go through and go through it like he did. Because you can go through it and come out better. And then you're going to poison everybody else around you with your attitude. It's wrong. They shouldn't have did this. And, you know, we got all kind of excuses we make. I don't know why they treated me like this. And I don't even know why we treated, I'm going to say we. I'm not going to say they. I don't know why we treated Jesus like we did. Because once I came into the world, and all I know about getting saved and all that stuff later on, but even after I knew about, I was supposed to get saved, come in, because he showed me the ring. I still wasn't ready to come in. So why did I do him like I did him then? You know, so I can't say that about somebody else and did the same thing, but once I came in, I didn't flip-flop and go back out. I didn't do that. I guess I was too scared. I don't know what it was, but I didn't do that. And he wouldn't allow me to do that. But some people do. That's part of what they like. Because if nothing happened, he don't know that's going to happen. But he exhorted us to follow Christ. What is that? The same things that he went through in following Christ. I'm not talking about just going to church or just doing my little prayer, my little Bible reading, my little this, all of it. Whatever he went through, whatever it is. Some country, we know this if you study and read, they go through the literally on the cross. Some places, they put them on the cross and kill them. Chop the heads off and everything. So far in America, I don't hear of that. So we are blessed. But we will piquantly go on the cross. He will put you in position. What that mean? He will put you in this position. And have it be so nothing and nobody can help you out until he get ready for you to get off, till you die to your flesh. Stop trying to help yourself out. Or you do things that he doesn't want you to do. Because like I see a lot of times, even the situation I'm going through now, I had a lot of good ideas, but it wasn't God's idea. I know there wasn't. Because he wanted me to stand still and see the salvation of life because of things he promised me. He said, well, you know, you ought to do this, you should do this, you should do the other. Then if I help myself out, I'm going to lose altogether right there because there's nothing within myself and flesh or any other kind of way I can really help myself. I got to trust him. And I came this way. I came a long way learning how to trust him. And I'm not going to get to here now. I stopped trusting him and try to work things out for myself. Because I've never been a person that could talk people into doing nothing. Because to me, it was just big, and I don't believe in doing that. But trust and wait on God. I'm here to try to help push you forward toward whatever it is and giving you the truth. I'm not coming trying to sugarcoat nothing. I'm not trying to tell you something that I don't go through, that I have to do the same thing I'm telling you all to do. Because like I say, if I don't tell the truth when I come on here, when I get off this computer tonight, and lay down the minute my head hit that bed, God was something to deal with me as to why I disobeyed him. So I have to say it, and like I said, don't think that I don't pick up and don't know what's going on, because I do. But I have to fear him more than I fear people. I have to do that. We all supposed to do it, but I have to do that But I have to lay that fear down. I have to lay that weight down where how people going to affect me, going to be affected, going to offend me or don't want to hear me or whatever it is. I have to lay all of that at the foot of the cross. So, Lord, I'm going to lay myself at your feet. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. If you don't protect me, then I can't be protected. If you don't reveal the truth to people, I can't do it. I can't do it. You went through people rejecting you. You went through people didn't want to hear what you had to say. You went through people, everything you say that was coarsening and saying somebody, your people. So if you went through that, then it's automatic of what I'm going to go through. We all going to go through it, really, unless we stop serving God. We all must take our cross and bear our cross. Because the Bible says if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow up him, you're not worthy to be his disciple. The cross is if whatever he allowed to come your way, test, trial, calamity, affliction, whatever terminology. That's why I tell people, look the words up. Look it up. We'll find out. Then after you look up each one of them, look up them and see what they mean and what kind of things it's talking about. Because it's in the New Testament is where those Old Testament present. But people say, well, you know, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm just a Christian. That's what I am. And a lot of things in the New Testament, it is in the Old Testament, vice versa. If they know how to discern it and you know, and see it and put it in that perspective. Because without the Old, without the New Testament, it wouldn't be the Old Testament, vice versa. Without the Old Testament, it wouldn't be no New Testament. It's just a lot of the rituals that we don't have to do. But God is the same God. He's still looking for obedient people. He's still looking for holy people. He still will correct people just like he did in the Old Testament. He just don't kill them as quick because of grace. But eventually they kill itself because of disobedience. That has not changed. That's why I tell you, study the Word. And you'll find, we'll find out. That's what happened to me. I studied the Word. I stayed in the Word. And that's why it gave me respect to say, but okay, God didn't change. And I do know there are times when, out of ignorance, unlearned, that I didn't intend to disobey God. I didn't know I was disobeying God. But I still suffered some things. I didn't get what I was supposed to get because of it. So that told me right there it didn't change. It didn't change. And one of the other things, and if anybody wants prayer, you can put your hands up and I'll call on you. But if not, I have to let you have me go, maybe close out the show, no matter put the hands up. But there was a time, go back, and I hadn't been saved about 2 years. But Lord kept sending word for me to go out, and it hit in the highways and byways. I'm thinking I just got in the Lord. I'm not even ready to go, don't want to go. Told some of the people that was in the Lord, and they was telling me, well, you're not ready. First of all, I know that in my mind. But he kept sending word. Had prophets from out of town come sending word. I still didn't obey. And after a while, I was sending checks to mail for my rent and all that, and it being delayed right in town. Going all the way to Virginia. I live in North Carolina. And I'm questioning one of what's going on that's for $20 return for your return check and $20 for the late fee. What's going on? Now, Tepa wondered about that and some other bills. Because I always pay my bills with time. I mean, in time. So my pastor, I asked her what was going on. She said, well, I don't know. Maybe you need to go check the bank. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I learned not to be writing a check and got to run there. Put the money in there. If the money ain't there, I'm going to go write the check. But anyway, the Lord put me in the Word. And I've got where he had said his Word. And I realized the devil was stealing because God had told me to do something. I wasn't doing it. Not necessarily intention. I wasn't doing it because I was going about what the people say. You ain't been in the Lord long enough. But he knows where I was. He knows that I was a person that was submitted, would obey, and would learn. He knew I was no person that going to be arguing back and going back. He was ready. But until I obeyed the Lord and found out and went and checked that I did go to the bank, like my pastor said, and the money was in the bank, so the lady said, well, maybe it's me. I said, no, ma'am, I haven't put any more in there. The money was already in there. The enemy got ways to come to steal you, but you got to discern, not somebody else and not to my, well, you know, it's a bank, they did wrong, they did all this. It was me. But once I told the Lord, I surrender, I do whatever I go, I do whatever you want me to do, just tell me, you know, and I end up getting some more confirmation, but when I obeyed the Lord, then the enemy stopped. See, those things stop happening. They stop happening. There's many different ways that I try to tell people. They don't want to listen. That you need to check out. You need to pray about it. You need to seek this. You need to. Sometimes it could be the enemy stealing. Then you have to get somebody to learn how to pray, take authority over it. But no, it's just a mail. It's just a this. It's just a that. And just no. You need to pray and take authority over whatever belongs to you. This is what I say. The devil can't steal nothing from me and keep it. And I mean that. I will find somebody who knows how to do spiritual authority prayer. Whenever something like that gets hung up or whatever it is, and I will tell them, I need you to pray with me and let us take spiritual authority over what the enemy is trying to steal. I said, then I said, we can do that. And I've done that. I've done that. But then something be gone maybe a couple of months. Didn't come. After we pray, take us over within 2 days, this particular time, the person got it back, and then they sent it back to me. No, I don't play with the devil. But you got to get, that's why I say you can't get in and everybody to pray. Now, if I got the wrong person to pray, they'll start praying, Lord, bless Sister Ruth to get, you know, get the package, and bless Sister Ruth this, and Lord, you do this, and Lord, they can ask the Lord to send the angels. But you can't ask him to do something he already done, and the enemy, just like Bobby Daniel, he heard him the first time he prayed. But Michael and the archangel and them had to go up there and do spiritual warfare with the prince of Persia. Command them to look. You got to be able to discern and know and understand a lot of time with some things that you may need to do spiritual warfare. Instead of asking God to do it again. Or you may need to find out if it's something you do, you should have done and haven't done. And most times what we do, we keep asking God over and over and over and over, over and over and over and over. Then on that to still happen. But never checked out my own life. Well, I done prayed, I done read the prayer, I done did this. You may have done all that. But did you do it at the time he tell you to do it? Or as long as he told you. And like I say, always get the right person to do spiritual warfare. And a lot of people don't know how to do it. But I would say, Lord, send me somebody that knows how to do spiritual warfare. Or sometimes people say, well, I pray later on. No, don't even have that. Because a lot of times you don't know how people pray. And that's why I tell people a lot of times what you do, you go, when you pray, anytime and all the time, take authority over everything that was said, prayed, thought about, or whatever it is over your life, Lord, that you didn't say, and bring it to note that it don't come up in my life. I don't know what was said that didn't come from you, or vice versa, whatever, but Lord, I take authority over it. Right now, I break the power of it over my life. This is why, too, that a lot of us think that may not be coming to pass, and not that God didn't want to bless you. Because a lot of times people's not telling people how to get their blessings, how to walk in it. And those are some things that can help. I wasn't trying to go this way, because like I said, I'm probably going to go ahead and shut up because somebody else had a hand up. But and shut up with the Lord for whatever reason. Choose the one to take me this way and help me to say this to people. You need to ever so often. Do it every day if you want to, however that. Because sometimes people are saved. Just like I say, someone had to say to me today about 2 or 3 days, people say, well, you know, you ought to do, this is what you ought to do. That's not what God told me to do. So I take a thought over that. That's not what God promised me. And I mean, he was sending me promise after promise. I don't know how many promises. I don't have several premises. And those are not what he told me. So I'm not going to let that come up and do things that way. No, it can't happen. Because I know how to do spiritual warfare. I know how to take authority over things. I know how to stick to what God has told me. But whatever it is, I don't care if God has given me a word about your life, if I was closely connected or whatever it is by the end of your life, and God has given me a word to see what God's going to do, I'm not just going to take down off that word. And if I can stop you from doing it, I'm not going to let you do it. I'm telling him, no, we're not hearing that. I said, if you want to give up, I'm going to still believe God is doing it. Because this is about him. This is about his name has gone out. I put his name out there. You did too. But you giving up on his name, but I'm not. He does everything for his name's sake. That's what he does it for. And this is why a lot of people are going to see me run around in the next 5 or 10 years not getting what God got for them, because they're not going to listen. They're not going to do it the right way. They're going to do it like they've been doing and keep on thinking they're going to find the right person to pray the right prayer and God's going to do it. But I tell people this. If you learn God's ways, I don't care who you get. If God say he's going to bless you next year, at this time next year, you can get whoever you want to pray for to come up for now. Guess what? It's not coming. It's going to come at his due time or how he tells you to do it. If he tells you to run around your block every week for however many blocks it is, I want you to do it every week, once a week, for the next 10 weeks. You do it for 5 weeks, not 10 weeks. You're still not obeying. And guess what? It's not going to happen. It's not that he don't want to do it. He gave specific instruction. And this is why I'm trying to teach and tell people, pay attention to the instructions he gives you. Don't let your smart mind change it. Don't let nobody else with their smart mind change it. Like I said, people mean well. They really do. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of where their faith level is. They believe God for to do what he say going to do unless you some kind of put your hands in. Now, if he tells you, that's a different thing. But if he tells you to stand still, that's the best thing to do. Although pressure coming, pressure. But stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I'm not saying it's going to take easy, it's going to take this. You really need people that really got that kind of faith level that you're in agreement in the spirit, not one that's always arguing with you. Because the Bible says, can two walk together, set an agreement. But he's going to stand with you and believe that God is going to do this thing. And they will not, if they can help it, let you give up to faint. Because they have to, but I can't take it no more. Bible says, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That's why it's important for the people to know the word. I mean, know it consistent. So every time when the word is in your spirit, every time something negative come up, the word of God will come to counteract that word. It will come to tear down. You remember from scriptures that say in Ephesians 6 chapter about the sword of the spirit. It's the word of God. What does that mean? The word of God is what chop down everything else that's not like what he said, what his word say. If he says you can be blessed, I'm not saying I don't care about being concerned. It doesn't matter how your situation look. If he said you're going to be blessed, you stick, you're going to be blessed beyond your imagination. How? I don't care whether you got a job or ain't got a job or whatever you ain't got. That has nothing to do with what God said. It doesn't matter what the economy say. It doesn't matter what they give or don't give these stimulus checks or whatever it is. That don't mean that God is not going to continue to take care of you and I or whoever it is that believe him. It's calling where your faith is. Your faith in God or in you, the job, or in other people. Because if it is, it's going to fail. Every time it's going to fail. Because he will never let anyone have faith in anything other than him and let it last. Some kind of way he'll let it fail. But God wants me to encourage each and every person on this line. And especially one that stayed on, yeah, something got off, that's fine. But to encourage him, do not turn loose his hand. It's a song they used to sing. I don't hear it much. Hold to his hand, hold to his unchanging hand, something to that effect. I think that's the way it went. No matter what, hold to that word. Get that word down in your spirit, man. Believe it to the point that it has it so deep. Like the Bible talks about, you know, when the parables about when the word is sold, you get a thirdfold, sixtyfold, and hundredfold. Those are the good soil of heart. It's so and so deep, so deep in you, to no situation come. Don't take the word out. But if it's in your head, this is what the word will do when trouble comes. You tell somebody else when they're going through what the word say. But when it happened to you, the word don't flew out the window. It don't flew out the window. But it should be, especially when it comes to you. Come up out of your spirit just like it is with somebody else. I had to make a lifestyle. I'm not going to say no habit. No, I'm not going to say no practice. Saying the word. Not only when I'm being squeezed, but when somebody else connected me around me being squeezed, I say the word say. The word say. The word say. They said, well, yeah, but no, the word say. This is what the word say. And I'm doing it for their benefit, but also for mine. Because if I don't believe it for them, how can I believe it for me? They want me to put all the butts and all the conjunction and all that stuff in it. I refuse to do that. It says what it says. How? I don't know how God can do it. I don't question God about that. But I hold to his promise. And I'm telling you all, you got to do the same thing. And even more, what's coming up now and the way things are now, if you do not, you're going to fall by the wayside. Well, there are some things that's coming. Some things already here are going to really try your faith. If your God is real, the one that you say you serve, or if he's just a pigmentation of your mind, or he's just a religious figure, or he's a historical God, or he's a real life-giving God that's in your life. And it's going to have to be, because it may not be no one you can call on to pray for you. It may not be no one that you can call on that's going to talk, what the word said, because a lot of time, especially when I say around me, let me just put it like around me, it may be one or two people that I make him call, or actually one, I believe, around, I'm talking about around me right here in North Carolina, in this particular city, that I can call, and they get to talk to me, get to talk about the Lord. The Bible says this, yeah, the Bible says that. Rest of them, well, I don't know, Sister Ruth, you know, sometime I'm going to hear that. I need the word of God to feed my spirit. That's what I need. That's what we all need, but I need that. I don't need to hear why I can't have them. I don't need to hear because of who in the White House, the Blue House, the Green House. I don't need to hear who's the city council. None of them is my God. None of them has made me promise. They have made promise to the world. But the Bible said, let man be a lie and every God, but man, let man be the lie and God be the truth. Every man is a lie and God is truth. So I'm going to believe what the word of God say. That's what we got to believe. Every man is a lie and God is truth. Basically, that's what I'm saying. But we got to come to a place. Don't let nobody and nothing take the truth of God's word up out of your heart. I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care how people say, well, you never did, you never had this. The devil is a lie. But the Bible says that God is not a man that he shall lie. He is the son of man that he shall repent. Has he said and shall he not do? Has he spoken and shall he not bring to pass? That's what the word of God say. So we either going to believe that or we're going to believe the circumstances. I'm here to tell you, believe what the word of God say. Actually, like I say, with me, a lot of people right now, you know, upset me because I refuse back away from the word. I mean, like I tell them, you know, that's you. That's a benefit to you. But for me to back up, it's gonna affect me. So I'm not for the back up with his help. I'm not for to do that. But I just want to encourage each and every person. I pray that the Spirit of God has given you what he wants. But I still say, you know, if anybody want me to be in agreement with them, just pray with them. Or you have a testimony or anything that you would like to give, you know, just put your hand up. I'll recognize it. Because if not, I may go ahead and cut the show off earlier and do what I give you the opportunity if you want to. Or if you have anything to say that you might want to say to the Lord to encourage, you know, encourage someone else. Like I say, well, you know how to put your hands up because you already don't call in. You know how to click on, but because I know a lot I can talk about. I know a lot I can say because I do know the word, but I don't like to go over the Holy Ghost and, you know, put it whatever he wants to give out. And sometimes some people do. But I like for him to be speaking so that it can make a difference and he can be pleased. And he get, you know, to give out what he wants to give out. It's not what I want to give out. It's not that at all. It's what he wants to give out to his people. You know, to encourage you for the next day, the next test, and the next trial, or the next whatever. But he wants to prepare us. Also, so we can stop complaining, too. A lot of us, I'm not saying necessarily you all, but people do complain about I'm going through. I've been going through a long time. Nobody goes through but me. Why I got to go through. But like I said, the word, they'll understand why. You know, we hear this by much given, much required. You know, but sometimes we don't think it. We want a lot from him. But we don't want to go through anything. But we'll work through your full job if we can to get what we want materialist. But to get the things from Christ that we don't have to work for that like that and get better things. Long lasting thing, but don't have no 20-year, 30-year mortgage or whatever it is, I'm like, or either another bill, pay a long time, you know, on it, just by obeying him. And we'd rather not do it. But the Lord is really, really trying to tell a lot of us a lot of things that he's spoken, a lot of things he wanted to do and give. To search your soul, search the word. And again, whatever he revealed to you, that's what you need to do. Maybe it's from somebody else. And if he said that's what it is, begin to do it and see God begin. You don't have to, a lot of times we don't have to pray over and over. If we study the word and do what the word say, because we all know, I'm sure everybody on here, the word say, if you do thus and so, I do so and so. The word says that. If you don't put it like that, it means the same thing. So what is he telling me? If I do what he tell me to do, he's going to do whatever he say do. That's it. I'll take the instance of the word scripture coming about Psalm 84:11. He said he's a sun and a shield. He behold no good thing for those that walk upright. So what am I supposed to do? Walk upright according to his standard. So if I do that, I don't have to pray for him for any good thing. It's going to automatically come. Now, I can't see how soon. And it's many other scriptures. I don't know the scripture just to be telling somebody else. I live by them. I really do. I really do. And very seldom I be praying a whole lot about myself, you know, what I want. I be praying both for other folks. Because I know a man can do what he say to. And I know he's going to do it. I'm trying to really get off of him. But anyway, nothing will come to me over 1 John 5:14, I believe it says. The scriptures tell us we have this confidence in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we have that petition. So if whatever I'm asking him for, and maybe a lot of times if it's not for us to put a passion upon our own self, you know, but we did that. That's his word. But in the meantime, what am I doing and saying? How am I reckoning? Have I got mad and stopped doing what he want me to do and that or this, that and the other? Or what am I doing to hold it up? Because he said, that's the confidence we have in him. Whatever the petition is that we desire, he's going to do it. Many scriptures. That's why I said go Find those scriptures and look them up, what he made the promise and what he said in them, to see if you are walking accordingly. And if it is, then you know it may have to be with a due time, a due season. If you, you know, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, then you won't have to be sitting worrying, don't have to be sitting praying, you don't have to be sitting with God, you begin to think and praise him. It's if you already got it. It's many, many scriptures. That's what I do when a lot of things not happening. I kick myself out by the word. But God, your words say this, your words say that. Now, am I what you say it is? The day I was hitting the Lord, I said, Lord, you know, you said you reign on the just as well as the unjust. So now, you don't have no in between. And however you see me, whether you see me as the just one or the unjust, I know you're going to bless me anyway. That's what I tell the Lord. Because ain't no gray area. Ain't no in between. So I can expect the blessing to come. But get the confidence. The main thing is get the confidence in the God that you died for you, one that you serve, that he's not like the other afflicted people that we have dealt with, that we chose, that he's going to come through for you. No question, why I had to go through this, why I had to go through that, why. Why did Jesus have to go through what he did? It's for somebody else. You for somebody else. So you can tell them, I've been where you've been, but God delivered me. He healed me. I know how you feel. You can tell them. And most time, most of us probably know this. A lot of times, the things that we experience, especially a lot of times with sickness and different things, or sometimes with other things, God most of you to anoint that person after he healed them to go lay hands on people with the same kind of sickness. A lot of times he does that. A lot of times you go through for other people. Why they may be working on whatever it is, and God may, since you are a servant, he might have you going through for them. Or for somebody you may not even know. And sometimes most of us, I know I can tell when I'm going through something that's not mine. Then I know how to pray for whoever it is and send the word out. You are his servant. His vessel, whatever terminology you want to use. To use for any specific things that he wants to when he gets ready. You ask me to use you? I want to use you to do whatever you want to do. So he said, okay, I'm going to allow her to go through this persecution. Then we get to hollering, screaming, and hollering. I didn't ask for that. No matter. No matter at all. But we have to be encouraged. I just want to encourage each and every person. You know, to hang in there. Don't give up on God. God do have some people praying for you. Like I say, a lot of times, even when I'm off, sometimes names are special when, you know, when somebody had their hands up and I got that name or whatever it is. Sometimes God will bring that name to me. And sometimes he just bring a name anyway to me. And I know if he do that, it's to say a prayer for them. So he does have somebody praying you through. And you have to be really be encouraged with that and know that you're going through because you're going somewhere with him. You're not just going through because you've been chosen and picked out to be an example like he was. That's what it is. And because he loves you. His love is not like man love. Okay? And all of us are supposed to know that by now. It's because he let us go through something, don't mean he don't love us. Because in that case, the father would never let his son went through what he did. Just think about that sometime. Because I can't even look at it. I got several videos on that. I can't even look at them, though, because every time they get to whooping him or hammering him with them nails, I can't stand to see that. He did that for me, so now I'm going to continue to do things wrong for him to feel that pain all over again. Not so. Not so at all. I'm not intending to. But we thank God for each and every person. I'm just going to go ahead and pray, and I just go ahead on and what's going on. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that you allowed to listen to this program tonight, Father, even though that may be on the radio or internet or wherever they are. Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak forth and I decree and declare, Father, that your divine purpose and will for their lives and their family lives, God. Whoever connected to them in the name of Jesus, for their ministry, everything concerning them, God, the finances, the health, whatever it is, God, I send forth, God, the word, and I ask you to send forth your ministering angel to them, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, because you said the ministering spirit for the heirs of salvation. And, Father, we thank you right now. Lord, let some miracle, let something come forth to encourage their heart, Father. We as a people today, God, your people, those of us who truly believe in you, those of us who truly wait on you, Father, we need a supernatural things to happen to encourage us for the next level. For the next level, Father, we need you to do that in the name of Jesus. Not that we don't believe you and trust you, we do. But, God, there's so many false people out there. God, we need to know the real, the true real. We need to see, Father God, that you, the things that you said in your word, that you're still doing those things today. And, Father, let it be an evidence in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, God. Lord, I pray for every ministry, every one of them that you on this line that you have given ministry to, God. I pray you stir up their ministry, Father. I pray for more signs and wonders, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, that the Spirit of God, hallelujah, will come upon them in the name of Jesus and dip every one of them, God, down in the kerosene of your spirit and set their heart ablaze. In the name of Jesus, let the fire of God come from their belly, hallelujah, out of their mouth, Father, in the name of Jesus, out of their ears, make them sharp, God, in the name of Jesus, that they can hear what the Spirit is saying and move when the Spirit says move, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to take the cloudiness off their eyes, God, the film off their eyes, Father. Lord God, like you did in the book of 1 Kings 17, 1, God, with Elijah, God, pray for his person that worked for him, God. Open his eyes so he may see, God. In the name of Jesus, and this is to my spiritual Father, in the name of Jesus, and Father, in the name of Jesus, open up doors for them to go forth, God, and minister to them. Protect them, Father, as they hear your voice, Father, in the name of Jesus. But let signs and wonders follow. When they pray, when they speak a word, when they do whatever you tell them to do, in the mighty name of Jesus. But, Lord, I ask you, Father, to keep their home protected. Cover them with the anointing of God so when they go out, God, they will be covered, that no sickness and no disease will be able to touch their bodies. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as they live the 91st Psalm, that no plague should come nigh their dwelling. In the name of Jesus, that they will see people, the enemy, falling on one side and some on the left side, Father, but not come near them. In the name of Jesus. And Father, let them not worry about the enemy coming. Because you said in your word that they will see the enemy fall right before their eyes. Not that they desire it, but your word is true. And we thank and we praise you right now for each and every person on this line right now. We pray again for Randy and the whole crew. We pray again for his family. We pray again for every host, every co-host. We pray the same prayer above each and every one of them, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord God. Let it be signs and wonders, Father. I'm talking about great signs and wonders, even following this ministry, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, and we give you the praise. We give you the glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So I'm going to say good night to each and every person. And I, like I said, I pray the blessing of God upon you all. And I really don't have anything else to say. You know, and then, like I said, I gave you the opportunity, you know, yourself, if you want to say something, pray or whatever it is, you know, to do so. But I don't want to keep holding you and just, you know, keep stumbling over words to encourage. I hope you have been encouraged. I hope it'll give you enough leverage to want to go further in the Lord and step out and seek his will for your life. Because that's where a lot of your blessings are, especially the big time blessing, is in the center of his will. That's where it is. When you step out, because you step out, you're in the right place, in the right position, where whomever he chooses to want to use to bless you, you will be in that, in wherever they are. Because everybody's not there to bless you. Everybody wasn't assigned to bless you. So sometimes we have to go, sometimes we have to be, sometimes we have to whatever, amongst the right kind of people, or the people that he chose to be that blessing, because they are, there are people that chose to be that blessing. That's what God have them working for, whatever you want to call it. It's to be a blessing to certain people. You have to use people for everything. So we praise you. We praise God. We thank you for, you know, for being on. Just be a blessing to the next time, and we're going to say good night to each and every person. Thank you again. Good night.